You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here. 216-578-0850. Getting your thoughts on Jimmy Haslam's press conference. Tom Withers certainly seemed pleased with what he heard from the owner. Thought it was a good move that he needed to go ahead and get out there and face them. And I thought he addressed the dysfunction thing very well. I thought it's what I see every day. So it's good to know that's what he thinks as well. Our guy, G.I. George, one of our listeners, big tweeters out there, said, "I'd contend that the Browns' dysfunction began and ends with Kyle Shanahan. Good riddance." I think before you could say it kind of was around the Lombardi banner, Lombardi area, and then he made a switch there. Now Kyle Shanahan. When people are going to stop thinking that there's dysfunction here is when, A, the Browns are winning, and, B, there's the continuity and no reports of dysfunction coming out of Berea. So I think it's going to take some time to get there, but hopefully it will.
Oh, there's no doubt. And that's where I've said, whether it was a story about the Cleveland Browns or about another organization, is it's these dang sources and these moles, whoever they are. It's like I want to like set a trap for them somehow and catch them, because it creates such a smokescreen in front of fans' eyes, in front of analysts' eyes, in front of the media's eyes about what's actually happening. You know, unless you were in the room and a fly on the wall, you don't really know. It's all speculation. In some cases, you Browns fans out there have to understand that these, and again, nothing against Tom Withers, but the AP and all these other sources out there that have the platform to create, they write for a living. They speculate for a living. You know, Adam Schefter is probably, you know, is a great source, but in some cases, when he reports something, it's not necessarily true. You know, not yet until it's, as we know, working with the Cleveland Browns, unless it's confirmed by the team. So that's something that I just need to nip in the bud. And no organization with multiple sources, outsourcing their information to anyone, whether it be a friend, a family member, or a piece of the media, it's bad for the organization. And you're going to stagnate the growth of this organization as long as that happens.
And I think it's right. Tom Withers calling out, you know, the Lock and Four article was filled with a lot of anonymous sources and this source and that source. If you can't put your name to something,
no,
you lose a little credibility.
Absolutely.
And then when you won't put your name to something and you're factually inaccurate about who was watching tape, et cetera, and other things in that story, I think it really undermines the credibility of it. The problem is, in today's society, as he said, it's attention-grabbing headlines, attention-grabbing words. And if it's proven to be, you know, false later, how many people are seeing the fact that it's proven to be false? They just read it, they accept it as fact, and the perception becomes reality. And
we live in a drama-filled world. You know, you watch the news every night, it's
can't watch 75%, who can watch the news?
75% negative, 25% positive. And
can you watch the news? Do you watch the news?
God, no.
No way.
God, no.
Oh.
I mean, social media, you
Jeez.
Know, you hear about people dying, and it's like, you know, everything you hear about Obama in politics is always, it's war, it's this, it's that. It's like, you know, and it breeds that negativity. And that's what I also, too, I challenge individuals. You know, when people say, well, I read it on the internet, you know, you can read whatever you want to read, both positive and negative, about the internet. It's just a matter of, you know, how smart are you to read through it and truly get to the bottom of whatever topic it is being discussed.
Let's go to the phone lines now. 216-578-0850. Dino the Trucker, what's going on, Dino?
Hey, guys, how we doing today?
Good,
good.
Dino,
how you doing? How's the trucking?
Hey, yeah, I'm doing good. You know, I got a problem with how they report the Browns, because lately it seems like I'm going to the grocery store and I'm buying an Inquirer magazine, because they're sensationalizing everything.
Yes.
You know, they're not talking about the facts. I don't care about how they're getting along. All I care about, who's playing for the team, how many wins are we going to try to get, are we getting better at a certain position? That's all I care about. What they're trying to do is, and it does that in all fact. I mean, you heard about it the other day with LeBron and Kevin Love. Why are you sensationalizing something that is a non-issue? Are they trying to get to, I mean, it's getting to be like tabloid news, and it's starting to get real old. From my aspect of it, I mean, it's just getting old, man.
I think that is a very valid point, and yes, that is because people are in this day and age in the media, it's all about clicks. It's about headlines. It's about running with the story and finding out the facts later, because it doesn't matter. Once you get your story out there, that's how you're getting your notoriety. And I don't think there is nearly the accountability for erroneous reporting as there is for just being the first one to get something out there and getting the attention. I think that, you know, media companies now would rather have somebody go out there and get the attention all the time. And if they happen to be wrong some of the time, they'll live with that because they're getting attention, they're getting the eyeballs, and they're getting the dollars.
Of course. And there's money associated with being first. There's money associated with how many Twitter followers you have and so on and so forth. And these guys thrive on it, you know, and I think their credibility and their validity in a certain marketplace or even the national perspective is solely based on the number of reports that they do or the number of times they've written an article that's controversial that drives their Twitter followers, that drives retweets of an article and drives the number of eyes that they can get on it. When you really step back and look and someone who understands the information inside that article, 50% of it is false. And it's completely made off, and Dino, you're absolutely right. It sensationalizes a problem and takes it to a new level. Like all these problems on the Real Housewives of whatever, you know, it's like everybody has problems, but because you're on TV and because the Bravo channel sensationalizes to the utmost degree.
Do you watch? Did Oprah recommend that you watch the Real Housewives?
She does. Yes. Yeah. Yes, it does. You know, people start to believe it that their problems are so much worse than our own, and we start focusing on someone else's problems on television when we live in a flawed world. We live as flawed human beings, and we don't focus on our own because we're so dug into what's on television and what TV show or 50 Shades of whatever, you know what I mean, is going
purple.
On.
Yes.
Purple.
It's true, and that's why, you know, Tom, I think, obviously has journalistic integrity. He gets upset about that, and I made a comment. You could tell that that's where he wanted to go, and that's why our guy Ray Duvall down in Atlanta, he of the very nice vest and tie in his and he called us up yesterday. That's why he said, that's why I roll with Tom Withers, AP, facts only. What's up, Ray? How's everything going down in hot Atlanta? Let's go to Bradley on a cell talking Jimmy Haslam. What's up, Bradley?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
All right. You know what? I'm glad that Haslam did come out and at least, you know, address the situation. You know, I mean, what really could he say, you know, without implicating himself or anybody else? You know, he stood behind his guy, which is fine. I'm okay with that. You know, I still say as long as these guys stay together for 2 to 4 years, man, they can make something happen.
It's moving,
you know, changing and changing, you know, and at least he's sticking with them, you know. And I think that when they went on that retreat, you know, that they probably did hash everything out and say, hey, you know what? Whatever's on your mind, say it. And just in my opinion, I think that, you know, both Ray Farmer and Coach Patton probably told, you know, Mr. Haslam, hey, look at here. You know, let us do our job, okay? We accomplished 7-9 with all this chaos. Just think how much better we could be if you just let us go ahead and do our thing. You know what I mean?
That's a great point.
I feel like also that maybe, you know, what you had came up with, Andrew, about man, that kid from Tampa Bay. I think he might be a good fit for the time being. You know,
who, Glennon?
Yeah, Glennon.
The problem is now that they cut Josh McCown. Glennon's the only quarterback on their roster, so I think that kind of puts
right. So it'll Glennon be Jameis Winston perspective
trade rumors a little bit. Glennon. It makes it tough. Glennon's going to be their backup, I would imagine. But yes, I Derek Onassell, welcome to CBD.
Hey, hi guys. Am I wrong or not? I mean, this is like a love fest going on with everybody. What flavor is the Kool-Aid today? Because for you guys to be saying that Ray Farmer will be in place a year from now, I would highly question that.
Why?
Well, because he blew the first two picks of the draft this past year.
Well, first of all, I think it's early to write off guys that young. I think Johnny Manziel and Jesse Gilbert, do they look good so far? No. You got Joel Bitonio, who was arguably maybe one of the best picks in the whole draft. And I think overall, would you agree that the talent on the team was better via the draft and undrafted free agents and free agency than it was the year before? So
knowing that Ray Farmer is paid to assess talent.
Yes.
All right. How did he and 12 other guys miss on Odell Beckham Jr. when the guy's catching balls one-handed? I'm sure he did that at the combine. He probably did it in his own pro workout. How did we miss on that guy? And then how did we not take Bridgewater later in the first round when we paid $100,000 to do a study on who was the best quarterback?
The Bridgewater one I'm not going to fight you on because I'm a huge Teddy Bridgewater fan. The Odell Beckham one, what I'll tell you is they got the top cornerback on their board and they got the top quarterback on their board. And Mike Pettine coming in wanted that cornerback and worked with Ray Farmer, and I think that's how the Justin Gilbert pick came about. I know that Odell Beckham was well-regarded in this building, as one of the top wide receivers in this draft. So I don't think it was a matter of not doing the homework. I think it was a matter of where they ended up picking. The guy that they targeted there was Gilbert. The quarterback one, listen, Manziel was their top quarterback. You know, Teddy Bridgewater was other people's top quarterback. Sounds like he was yours. He was mine. And, you know, I just think it's early to say that the draft is a failure because of the first round. In fact, Mel Kiper just wrote about the Browns draft from a year ago, including the undrafted free agents, and said it's what an unbelievable draft, because if you look at the first two picks, they were right now, they weren't successful. They didn't add anything. If you look at everybody else he picked, they were good contributors. You got to feel very excited about Betonio, who looks like he's going to be a Pro Bowler for years to come. Kirksey looks like he will be a starter for you and every down player. You've got Pierre Desir, who showed at the end of the season, a guy that I love, that he can be a starting cornerback in this league. You've got
Terrence West,
who is a part of a running back tandem with Isaiah Crowell, who you also brought in. Taylor Gabriel contributed. Kaywan Williams was considered one of the better slot corners in the NFL as an undrafted free agent. So they brought in a lot of guys who contributed to this team of the draft. So overall, Mel Kiper gave the Browns draft a B, even after the fact, despite the two first round misses, or at least in terms of their year one production, the two first round misses. So I think overall, Ray Farmer did a great job. And I think when you really assess how well he did in terms of drafting from the second round on, it was a home run in the undrafted free agents. If you can get a guy like Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel to play at big level, then all of a sudden this draft will be a huge, huge success for the Browns and will be a foundational building block for this team. That's the end of hour number one. Hour number two coming your way. We'll kick things off with Browns senior staff writer Andrew Gribble, who's sporting a very nice fresh helmet, and he
looking
was in the
nice.
Meeting. Yeah, looking it's high and tight.
Got me contemplating going short for the winter time.
Dude, I like it, man. Come on. It's easy. No maintenance. He'll be with us talking about Jimmy Haslam's press conference from yesterday when we return here on CBD.